All right. Welcome in. It was a dark and stormy evening. Week 8 of the NFL season, episode number 26 of the Toilets to Titles podcast. Ooh, I'm getting chills. But luckily, I have my knight in shining armor, or rather my cowboy, sitting next to me. With me this evening is my co-host. And that is Justin at JustinFF underscore on the Twitter. Justin, what's happening?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I got to admit, I'm feeling a little better tonight. I've been under the weather for over a week now, or about a week, and it was rough goings there. I work in a public school, so had to get the COVID test and all that. Everything was negative. We're all good, but prepping for this show in particular, I was pretty excited. It kind of got me perked up a bit, so. So I'm happy to have a few sound effects in here for us tonight and definitely our guest that we have on tonight as well, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yes. We do have a guest. Before we get to that, let everybody know you could find me on the Twitters at Coach Sheps. You could find Nate, who's not with us this evening. He's still got daddy duty at Nate underscore dirt 19. And the show can be found on the Twitters at Toilets to Titles. George really likes your hat. He said he thought you were going to wear a costume, and that's your everyday wear. He likes that cowboy hat. Cool. I know, George, and this is my everyday wear too.
So funny story. About this hat in particular. We had a fantasy football draft last year where it was themed, and we pretty much made fun of one of the guys in the league. That was the whole theme, and he's from the suburbs, but he thinks he's a cowboy. So. I went out, I bought the hat just for that, kept the receipt so that I could take it back. I left the tag on, but I lost the receipt before I could go back. So I spent like $26 on this damn hat at a truck stop. And now I just wear it every opportunity I can because I want to get my money's worth out of it.
I love it. All right, I want to get to our guests, but before I do, remember you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Periscope, Spotify, and every week we record Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. I think that's kind of what we've gone to. So you can find all of that, you know, our links. If you check us out on Twitter, the links to all the episodes, wherever you want to listen to us, we share those links. So you could find it there. And then also weekly at fusionffb.com, all of our show notes, as well as a link to our YouTube stream is posted on there after we record. So you can go check us out. Please hit the like and subscribe button if you're listening to us. Go to our YouTube link. Check it out there. Hit the like and subscribe. It really helps us out, and it makes us feel good about ourselves. And if you don't hit the like and subscribe, you might be haunted, all right? A ghost might come and get you. All right. Now, ooh, what's this? That one was spooky. That one sent chills down my spine. All right, let's bring on our guest. This evening, we are joined by Linda, that's at Lynn, L-I-N-D-E-L-L-I-O-N-S, host of the Fantasy Football Confidential podcast at FF underscore confidential. And you can find her weekly streamer articles over at forfantasysake.com. Linda, what's happening?
Not a lot, boys. Excited to finally get on here.
Excited to have you. We've been talking, and I know lately you've run into some bad luck. Why don't you get into that a little bit before we get into, you know, this week, all this fantasy football stuff we want to talk about?
Well, I saw we're going to talk about injuries. I seem to have a thing where when I tweet excitedly about a player, roughly 57 minutes later, that player gets a tweet from Adam Schefter that he's either questionable or out. Happened this weekend with Chris Carson and Philip Lindsay. So I'm going to try to keep my name saying to a minimum. I'm not sure who I made mad. I spit across my left shoulder every black cat crosses the road. So clearly somewhere along the line, I've made the wrong person angry, and maybe we just need to get through Halloween, but it's been a rough go.
So there's two so far. All right. In 57 minutes, we're going to have to try to figure out what the significance of 57 minutes is, because if we can figure that out, maybe somehow we can like reverse it. You know, we could dive into the significance of 5 and 7 and maybe we'll figure it out. But I don't know. Until then, I think it's best that we talk about things that we know about. And those things are fantasy football. What do you say?
That's debatable as well, but I'm ready. Yeah.
Well, at least we know how to talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. All right, guys, before we move on, we're going to talk about some news and some injuries. I do want everyone to know we're doing a Fantasy Cares thing. Every 50 followers this season, we'll be adding to our donation total $10 to a charity of our choosing. We're currently at $90. Our next target is 689. So once we hit 689 followers, we will be at 100. We're at 653 now. So go ahead, throw us a follow. So, all right, let's start with some injuries. All right. We got Andy Dalton, concussion, John Bostic with a boom, big hit. He's going to need to pass concussion protocol. It looks like Ben DiNucci is going to start if Dalton can't go. Justin, I know you were hoping that they would trade for Fitz. So what do you think, Justin, about this Andy Dalton thing and with the possibility of trading for Fitz?
Man, Dalton looked really bad, and that was before the injury. And then DiNucci, obviously, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that name right.
It's DiNucci.
DiNucci, yeah. So they can't do it all for DiNucci. So come on. But before I get started here, just throw in my Sun King bit here. This is the nice WeMac. It is a Scottish style ale, and it is amazing. It's my favorite Sun King. But anyway,
did you move on from Quaffon?
No. It's I guess Quaffon is a different one, but Sun King is also a local brewery. So I gotta, you know, they're both right here in Central Indiana. So kind of spreading out a little bit. But this is for their video later on as well.
I respect that.
I can drink enough of both. but anyway, so if the Cowboys are still serious about possibly getting the division title, I think this is the smart play. I know they just traded away the defensive end Everson Griffin, and I mean, I know I saw your tweet earlier, John. I don't think you think much of him, but still, like I just feel like it's a horrible division. They got a shot at winning the division. It's only going to hurt them if they do draft wise. I get it. But at the same time, for fantasy purposes, I would love to see it happen. I own Zeke. I own several CeeDee Lamb, thanks to you. I own some Michael Gallup, thanks to you from last year. And I did own a lot of Jarwin, which means that I accidentally now own a lot of Schultz. So, I mean, I really need a quarterback in that offense, man. And Fitz has that ability to just not care and throw it deep. You know, he's not going to try to play it safe. And
yeah, that would be huge. That would be huge for fantasy implications. But where right now it's we got to suck for Gregory Rousseau or for Micah Parsons. I could care less about fantasy when it comes to my Cowboys. I just want them to go into the tank and get somebody. Linda, do you have any thoughts on the Andy Dalton injury and what that means for the Cowboys players, the fantasy football options?
Well, it was pretty bleak with old Andy Dalton. So I admittedly didn't watch a lot of the Cowboys this past weekend, but I can't imagine it got any better. I did see that dirty hit. That was crap. And then that he's not going to get fined, which seems like awful. I don't know. I had a lot of Blake Jarwin too. I'd just like to say that it kills me to watch Schultz succeed in that offense, or at least when he was before Dak got hurt, because I would have been right.
Yeah, I see what you when you like a player, I notice you like hard. You definitely you'll show your, you know, the fact that you are rooting for this player. You expect them to produce. I do notice that, and I did notice, you know, a lot of Blake Jarwin love. So Justin over here, he was one of those Blake Jarwin lovers as well. And I just didn't think there was enough balls to go around, but I saw Schultz doing it. So if Schultz could do it, Jarwin could have done it. You know, he looked pretty good early on. All right. So the next injury here, we had Breshad Perriman. He had a concussion. Crowder still nursing a groin injury. Berrios, Mims, and Smith could be the only healthy options. So Lynn, do you have any thoughts about the Jets passing attack with Rashad Perryman and Crowder a little nicked up?
Crowder's the only guy that's a weekly start for me anyway in that offense. It's terrifying. And, you know, Becton isn't healthy, and that's not good when one of your biggest dudes on the O-line isn't healthy, and poor Sam Darnold's out there doing the best he can with what he's got. So, again, it's very bleak for the Jets right now.
Yes, it's almost scary. It's almost scary how things look for them. They also might trade Quinnen Williams, who if the Cowboys trade for Quinnen Williams, I don't want to make this a Cowboys show, then I'd be okay with us going after Fitz. But if not, let's go in the tank. All right, Philip Lindsay, he's concussed, and I know he's one of the players you cursed, Linda, 57 minutes after you discussed him. I discussed him as well because I thought he was better than Melvin Gordon. I think even we had this thing going called the bathroom board where all our little bets between me, Justin, and Nate went on the bathroom board. We had a little challenge, and one of them was I think I took Philip Lindsay, and one of the guys took Melvin Gordon. It might have been Justin because I think Lindsay's better than him, and he looked better than him, and then he goes down. So that's very disappointing. But, Justin, what are your thoughts on the Philip Lindsay concussion and the Denver Broncos running attack?
Yeah, I was looking it up here real quick, and I had Melvin Gordon 15th going into the season. You had him 23, and then Philip Lindsay, I had 33, you had 30. But your point was that you felt that Lindsay was going to be a lot closer to Gordon than most people thought. I believe that was me on that bet. And after watching them both play together, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think if you just look at the eye test, Lindsay definitely still plays better in that offense than Gordon does. So if one's going to go down for fantasy purposes, you kind of prefer that Lindsay would be the healthier option. But with Gordon being in there, I mean, it does increase his value if Lindsay can't make it back. But it also is still a concussion. So we've seen guys numerous times bounce back. So just monitor it and be ready to start Lindsay if he plays.
Yeah, I definitely think Lindsay has a higher ceiling than Gordon just because he's so explosive and he can break one at any time. Linda, what are your thoughts on Philip Lindsay the rest of the season with this concussion and injury?
I wouldn't be surprised if he was back immediately just because he's already sat. And so if he can, you know, who knows how strong the NFL concussion protocol actually is within buildings. Sometimes they put players right back out there when they clearly don't need to be. So I think he'll probably play just because he knows he has to prove himself. And that's why I never sleep on Philip Lindsay. That dude has a chip on his shoulder. It gets deeper every year. He doesn't quit. He's so fun to watch run. And also he's never fumbled the ball. Melvin Gordon fumbled and also flea flickered 45 yards down the field last weekend. So I'm all on Lindsay when he's healthy.
Yes. Yes. I agree. All right. So N'Keal Harry, he had a head injury, likely a concussion, passing attack in New England, not looking good. So I don't really think we need to touch on that. Allen Robinson has a concussion, so I think that's going to increase, you know, Anthony Miller and maybe Cole Kmet over there. But Kenyon Drake, this is a big one. He has a slight ligament tear, which sounds bad to me. Like, slight or not, it's a ligament tear. So I think it sounds worse than how they're portraying it. They're treating it like an ankle sprain, and he's going to miss a few weeks. So finally, the better back, Chase Edmonds, is going to get a chance to get, you know, the bulk of the carries. And anybody who's had Edmonds on your bench, or even if you've started him, you've had a few chances to start him and get some points, but now it's really going to pay off because with that passing attack, defenses cannot stack the box, and it's going to open up so many things for him. And I do think he's going to eat, and I think he's going to be a running back one every single week that Kenyon Drake is out. Linda, what are your thoughts on Kenyon Drake's injury and Chase Edmonds?
I really like Chase Edmonds. I wish they'd use him more, especially since Drake hasn't been as productive as especially I had hoped where I drafted him. I was expecting bigger things. So I'm excited to see what Chase Edmonds does. I have him in some home redraft leagues that I got him late as a blanket running back. So the way this year's gone, I've already had to start him, but now I'll be excited to.
All right, I like that. And I just want everyone to know, Beryl Joffrey just chimed in that he's here to see who Linda likes so that he can better predict injuries. So, I mean, it's a curse, but it could also be a gift if it helps others. You know what I mean? So We could look at it that way. We could try to turn it into a positive.
Hey, that's my boy Beryl. He is always the optimist.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so we got a few more injuries here, but I don't want to spend too much time on all this. That's not what you came here for. DeSean Jackson's ankle, he's out 6 to 8 weeks. So, and Jalen Reagor's coming back, so that's big. Devontae Freeman, his ankle, so Wayne Gallman's the guy to look at. Jeff Wilson, the guy that I was really high on a few weeks ago, he finally had that monster game, and boom, he goes down. But Jamichael Hasty, he looked quick as hell. With Tevin Coleman coming back, I do think he's going to factor into it, but Hasty looked quick. Debo Samuel has a hamstring. He's out for 1 or 2 weeks at least, but Brandon Ayuk has been balling. Chris Carson has a midfoot sprain, considered week to week. How do you guys feel, Justin? What do you think about Carlos Hyde in Seattle with Chris Carson hurt? Do you think that he's going to carry the rock and be all right?
Well, this week in particular, the Seahawks are playing San Francisco. They have the number one defense against running back, so I'm really not all that confident, to be honest with you, for this week. A midfoot sprain, from what I've read, I tried to do as much research as I could on it. It's not something that happens real frequently in the NFL, but it can be a week-to-week thing, sometimes even day-to-day. Sometimes they can bounce back the next week. They just keep a boot on it and do some rehab throughout the week instead of actual practice, and they might be ready to go. I don't think he'll be out that long, so I don't think that this is a panic sort of situation for Carson owners, because for this 1 week, like I said, it's kind of a tough matchup. Depending on the format, I guess San Francisco isn't the greatest this year against the run, but at one point earlier in the season they were, and it is a tougher matchup. I'm not too overly confident in either of the backups, so I might just sit and wait and go find other options that you and I are both going to be talking about later.
Respect. All right, Austin Hooper, appendicitis, missed week 7, could miss week 8. Go pick up Harrison Bryant if he is available. OBJ, he's out for the season. Aaron Jones hopefully will be back week 8. And Devontae Parker has a groin injury. And Rich, we appreciate you coming in and checking out the show, man. What's up? All right, some more injury updates, man. Christian McCaffrey return is possible in 1 to 3 weeks. Watkins, 1 to 2. Goedert, 3 to 5, but I'm hoping for sooner. Miles Sanders is hoping to come back week 10. Zach Ertz in 5 to 7 weeks, man. We got so many here. Mostert, 3 to 5 weeks. Mixon, likely a week 10 return. Chubb, 2 to 3 more weeks. I didn't even know if he was coming back, so I'm glad to hear that. Eckler's hamstring is terrible. They're saying 3 to 5 more weeks, and Dalvin Cook hopefully will return this week. So let's go into some games of the week. Linda, since you are the guest, why don't you let us know what your game of the week is, why you picked it, all right?
Sorry, I have to keep muting it because my kid's running around. I like the Dolphins this week. I really want to see what Tua can do in that offense. I know he was going to be there to replace Fitz eventually, but it felt premature to sit Fitz already. He was doing so well, and maybe that was a concern, but that team's been more fantasy relevant than I had presumed they'd be in the offseason. So, and I'm happy about it. I picked up Gaskin after week 1. I was like, if it's a fluke, whatever. But I had so much Jordan Howard that it was mandatory, and that's been great. I think he'll be great this week. So that's the team I'm most excited to watch this weekend.
I feel like it's almost, maybe this is a twisted way of looking at it, but I wonder if Flores is like sick and tired of people asking if Tua is ready. And he's like, you know what? Let me throw him in after a bye against Aaron Donald and Los Angeles Rams. And if he gets, punched in the mouth, and if he doesn't do well, I can sit him for the rest of the season and people will stop asking me to put him in. I don't know if that's, if that would work for a coach or if that would work for Tua, but I almost feel like that's what he's doing. Cause 3 weeks ago, they were like, why didn't you put him in at the end of the game? And he was like, it would be silly. He would just hand off the ball. And then the following week, he puts him in for like 2 or 3 plays, like almost to shut the media up. And now all of a sudden he's starting for a game. So that's a twisted way of looking at it, but I kind of get that feeling. But Justin, what is your game of the week?
My game of the week is going to be the 49ers at the Seahawks. You can never go wrong with a divisional game, and I mean, both of these teams are still really good. The Seahawks are obviously playing ball. I mean, Russell Wilson is just out of this world this year. And then they have Lockett, who blows up and has 200 yards and 75 touchdowns against me. And only one of those numbers are a little bit of an exaggeration. He literally had 200 yards receiving against me this week in several leagues. So, but the 49ers, you can never count them out. And they're really banged up all across the board, but I still like the way they play. I like their kind of style. I think their kind of style of football could maybe help keep Russ Wilson off of the field a little bit this week and maybe keep the scoring down a bit by real overemphasizing that running game. So I think it could be a closer game. And then, like I said, divisional game, you never know what's going to happen. And I'd like to see the Niners give them a run for their money and make it a nice, good, close game to watch.
Yeah, they got linebackers in Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw who can really keep Russell Wilson, I think, from killing them outside of the pocket. I think they're going to get after him early and often, but I do worry about whether the secondary can hold up with DK and Tyler. But I was doing very well in DFS last week. I actually cashed out in all three of the games I played, but that Sunday night game, I was like eighth out of 4,000 in one thing. And then the Sunday night game came and I was doing all right until it became an epic scoring battle. I had nobody playing in the Sunday night game. So I went from eighth to like 30th and won like $20 instead of $300. So that was a little disappointing, but what can you do? You know, you live and you learn. All right. My game of the week is Steelers at Ravens. You know, I love defensive struggles. Last week I had Steelers Titans, which didn't necessarily look like a defensive struggle. At least it did for the Titans, you know, the first half of the game. And still they came out and AJ Brown just looked like money. I think the Steelers and Ravens are just going to punch each other in the mouth. And that's what I want to see, especially at 1 p.m. Start the day off with an excellent game. But I wouldn't be surprised if they flexed it to Sunday Night Football. I feel like we probably would have heard it by now. But Dallas is playing Philly, and nobody wants to watch that. Put Pittsburgh and Baltimore on Sunday night, and let's enjoy Sunday Night Football instead of the other option. So that's the game I have. Justin, why don't you tell everybody about Thrive, my friend?
So the Thrive Fantasy Football app, if you guys have not downloaded it yet and you're in a state that allows you to use it, then I highly encourage you to download it, especially if you like to bet games on like DraftKings and that sort of thing. It's a lot like it, only instead of like particular games and points and also – That's like their sports bet. That's like DraftKings Sportsbook is where you can bet game lines and money lines and stuff. But then their DFS plays are more individual players. You get points, fantasy, typical fantasy style. It's kind of a mixture of the two. You're going to have about 12 different bets that you can look into or that you have to choose out of 20. And the bets are a little bit different. It's more like will Drew Lock have plus or minus 1.5 touchdown passes. If the odds are more likely that it'll be less, then you might get 200 points if you choose less. But if you choose more, since it's less likely, if he gets more, you might get 260 points. You play against however many people you sign up against. It's usually small. So it's easier to keep track of the points and easier to pull out victories that way. Most points at the end wins, and you move on. But you deposit anywhere between $20 to $50, and Thrive will match that. So you deposit $20, they throw in $20, you have $40 in your account. You throw in $50, they throw in $50, you got $100 in your account. So it's $50 free bucks right out the gate to bet on. Then you let us know how you did. Let us know how you did with it. Let us know what your lineup was, what the bets were, maybe some that you burnt others on, or what you got burnt on at the last minute. We love to hear those kind of stories. So let us know.
Yeah. Throw it in the comments, the YouTube comments, go back and let us know. All right. Now we're going to move on to my dudes and duds for the week, but guys, please make sure your doors are locked, your windows are shut. You know, nobody's walking around in your attic, because it's about to get real spooky in here. All right? So I just want to make sure. All right. So I'm going to start off. Should I start off with duds? Oh, my goodness. Jesus. I think I should. I think I'm going to do it backwards. You know, probably I'm going to try to help lift Linda's curse by doing dudes and duds backwards. So if I do the duds first and it helps, then it's lifted. You know, we move on. But if I do the duds first and then I get cursed, I'm not going to be too happy about it. But anyway, let's start with some duds this week, all right? My first dud is Drew Brees at Chicago. The monsters of the Midway are alive and well. The Bears have only let up 6 passing touchdowns, the lowest total in the NFL. They've also held opposing quarterbacks to the third lowest QBR, which is 78 through week 7. Not looking good for Brees, even if he has Michael Thomas. Stafford versus the Colts. The Colts have held opposing quarterbacks to an average QBR of 71, which is the lowest for any defense in the NFL. The Colts are fresh off a bye. Hiding under the covers will not protect Stafford from this defense. Ezekiel Elliott at Philadelphia. Zeke has looked basic, and Philly is ready to take the division. They'll key in on Zeke and dare the Cowboys to beat them with DiNucci. There's a tombstone that states, here lies the 2020 Dallas Cowboys, and Philly will put the last nail in their coffin. Ravens running backs versus Pittsburgh. The Steelers had done a great job of bottling up Derrick Henry for most of last week's game, and they will bring that same energy into this divisional matchup with the Ravens. Whether it's Ingram, Dobbins, or Edwards, this matchup is too scary for me to start up either of them. All right. Bills wide receivers versus the New England Patriots. This Patriot team got embarrassed last week by Jimmy G and the San Francisco 49ers. They're going to raise hell this week versus their rival, Buffalo Bills. Justin Jefferson versus the Green Bay Packers. Week 1, when the Pack faced the Vikings, Jefferson was held to 2 for 26. He's a new man now, but with great power comes great responsibility, as someone once said. He will now have the attention of Packers' best cornerback, Jair Alexander. In the last 6 weeks, Alexander has only let up 10 receptions. Justin Jefferson might as well be the invisible man for Halloween, because that's what he'll be on Sunday. Tight end Tyler Higbee at Miami. Jekyll and Hyde, but more Hyde than Jekyll, if you catch my drift. His 3 TDs came in 1 game, and he has yet to top 10 PPR points at any other points this season. I don't trust this cat. Linda, what do you think about my duds, and do you have anybody you'd throw on there?
Oh, I haven't looked at my start sit decisions yet, but I do want to say about Tyler Higbee that that tight end room is a revolving door of who's going to produce, because who the hell saw Munt with a D in there, which doesn't sound like there should be, going off last week, because that was insane. I'm looking at, like, you know, in the leagues that I have to stream a tight end, and I'm in a 14 team league that it's not great, and I picked up Fursker, and the girl I played had Janu, and it was just like, okay, well, hopefully, you know, mine's the one to have here. And I think Fursker scored 1.7 points and Janu scored 1.4. When caught all these passes, I was like, cool, that's cool. Tight end, man. That's and it's every league I'm streaming tight ends, because I had Blake Jarwin literally everywhere.
Well, in my dudes, there's going to be a tight end listed that might be available and is somebody you could stream. So that's a little bit of a tease. All right, my dudes for the week. Ryan Tannehill versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Ryan Tannehill has been playing like a man possessed. This is a layup. Baker threw for 5 touchdowns versus Cincinnati, and the Titans are about to rebound after a tough loss. Carson Wentz versus the Dallas Cowboys. I'll continue this theme. If it's a quarterback playing the Dallas Cowboys and he has the pulse, start him up. Running back Boston Scott versus the Dallas Cowboys. Twitched up backs have haunted the Cowboys defense this season. Kenyon Drake, Antonio Gibson, and now Boston Scott. He will be the latest to wreak havoc on them. Running back Le'Veon Bell versus the New York Jets. Adam Gase looked in the mirror and said Le'Veon 3 times while spinning in circles clockwise. Bell is going to have a slasher revenge game this week versus the Jets. Wide receiver Brandon Ayuk at Seattle. Seattle's pass defense has been horrendous this season. The only team that has been worse is the Atlanta Falcons. Ayuk is coming off a game where he went 6 for 115. The Seahawks secondary is the babysitter. The Seahawks secondary is the babysitter, and the police have just traced the phone number. Ayuk is in the house. Wide receiver Mike Evans at the New York Giants. With Godwin ruled out, I think the Buccaneers will do their best to clear the cobwebs out and get Mike Evans involved early and often. This performance will be a scream for those who kept him on their bench.
I miss Calvin.
And then finally, tight end Trey Burton versus Detroit. Manny left Trey Burton for dead this season, but he rose from his grave in week 4 and walked among the elite in week 6. Coming off of a bye, he has a nice matchup versus the Lions. So, Linda, those are my dudes. You got Trey Burton there. What are your thoughts?
Trey Burton was on bye, which is why I had to pick up Fursker. So I'm all on board. I liked all the – except for Boston Scott, I liked most of those. I do like offensive players versus Dallas, though, because it's a hot mess. That's what I said this week. Play whichever team – I guess I said play whichever defense is playing Dallas, but both sides of the ball, really, you can attack in fantasy football right now.
Yep. All right. So those are the dudes and the duds. Let's move on to some streamers. I know, Justin, you got some for us. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So I've got some streamers here. I've got first I want to go over my hits and my misses from last week. I tried to do this every week. This time I actually had time to write them down, and it took me a while because I actually had a lot of hits this week. Last week, my streamers were Justin Herbert, which obviously was a great one, 347 yards, 3 touchdowns, no INTs for the rookie, 66 rushing yards with another rushing touchdown. Minshew was a low-end QB1, high-end QB2. Boston Scott, a top 10 PPR running back. Jamal Williams was a top 6 PPR running back. I did get the touchdown right for T. Higgins. I said that T. Higgins would have a touchdown. That's the one I wrote down in the show notes and I was confident about. He ended up being a mid wide receiver too, so a really good streamer for your team. I was a little loose last week and decided I would throw in a guaranteed touchdown for AJ Green as well. He didn't quite get the touchdown, but he still got a mid wide receiver 3 in PPR numbers, which is still pretty good for a streaming wide receiver. So we'll take it. The Bills were a top 4 defense and the Eagles were a top 7. The only real miss I had last week was Dalton Schultz, and I missed it bad. 4.2 PPR points for a streaming tight end isn't typically what you're after. So, I'm hoping to make up with that with the tight ends I chose today. But so for this week, I threw myself off. I put week 6 on here in the notes, but this is week 8. We're good. In one quarterback league, that's going to be Carson Wentz. He's still unowned in 33% of ESPN leagues and 30% of Yahoo leagues. And guys, I understand that the Eagles are not a good team, but Carson Wentz is still a top 10 quarterback in almost every single format. This week he faces the Dallas Cowboys. He should be owned and he should be starting. And I say one QB leagues because most likely he's owned in all your two QB leagues. But in two QB leagues, there's a couple guys here that might be owned that you might be able to get for cheap this week if you're desperate and you're in need, or if you're real in a really deep league and it's still one quarterback, you might be able to find them on your waivers, and that's Nick Foles or Teddy Bridgewater. Foles has disappointed fantasy owners, and Bridgewater has had some extent as well disappointed some of his fantasy owners, but either could be available against very soft secondary matchups. New Orleans for Foles, and of course Atlanta is really bad for Teddy, so I think they'll both have really good matchups. For my RBs, I still have to throw in Boston Scott because he's still, even though everybody was talking him up last week, I don't think very many people still believed it because he's still unowned in 34% of ESPN leagues and 31% of Yahoo leagues. And Philly has a nice week 8 matchup. We've already talked about it against the Cowboys, and then a bye in week 9. So Scott did show last week that he can perform against in favorable matchups. Then the Eagles may decide to sit Sanders again for week 9. Wait a minute. Do they have a bye in week 9 or is that week 10?
I'll double check. You move on to the next one. Let me check the Eagles schedule.
Okay, because I feel like I wanted to say that he might also get to start again next week to give Sanders that extra week for the bye. I might have wrote that wrong.
Oh, they got the Giants. So, yeah, they do have a bye. Yep.
Okay.
Got a bye.
All right. So he's probably going to get the start this week. Maybe that's what I was thinking. Boston Scott, because they're talking like Miles Sanders may come back this week, but I have a feeling that they're going to try to sit him again. If they do, then Boston Scott, you got to fire him up. But if not, then obviously you're not going to start, Boston Scott. Another guy I'm really excited about, and I'm excited enough that I'm going to talk about him in a little bit as well, Damian Harris. Belichick is looking for a playmaker in this offense, and Harris is the closest thing that this offense has to a playmaker. Buffalo is kind of middle of the road against running backs, and last week Frank Gore and LaMichael Perrine did really well against the Buffalo Bills on the ground, and the Bills are tougher against the pass than they are the run, and Cam is more effective as a good quarterback when he has a good running game and when they can get that running game established early. So getting Harris established early is their best chance at winning this game, and I feel like Bill's going to know that. I think they're going to go at him early and often. Let's see, wide receivers, I got Brandon Ayuk. Debo is out this week. Kendrick Bourne is just the guy this week. That pretty much leaves, or just the guy any week, but for this week, that pretty much leaves Kittle and Ayuk as the only viable receiving options. Nelson Aguilar, because why the hell not? I mean, 11 catches for 208 yards and 3 touchdowns over the last 3 games. He's clearly a big downfield threat, and I've been choosing Cleveland secondary's opponents every single week as streamers. I'm not going to stop now. He's the least owned for your bang for your buck this week. So Aguilar is unowned at 97% of ESPN leagues. I don't know how many guys can go out and have the game he did 3 weeks ago and still be unowned at 97% of leagues this week. And he had two more back-to-back games really good. So I don't know why he's still available out there. You guys need to go pick him up if you have any space at all or if you're in any kind of hurt for a wide receiver. My tight ends, Harrison Bryant for this week, mostly because Coach Stepps was so convincing last night in the Sleeper Wire open debate that he kind of convinced me that maybe it's time to go check him out. You need to go check out that show after this show. But also, Austin Hooper may still be out for another week. Even if he does play, he may be limited. He had an appendicitis last week just before the game, like a couple days before the game. And I had an appendicitis the night before my prom night. Huh. And it was painful and tender for a few weeks.
That's a funny story.
Yeah, I still went to prom too. Yeah, but my mom and dad had to drive us.
That's cute.
Yeah, it was adorable. And my prom date's sitting in the living room right now, too.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. So it must have worked out. But anyhow, Austin Hooper, even if he does play, I can tell you from experience, that's still going to be tender. The stitches are still going to be fresh if they still take appendices out the same way that they did 20 years ago.
Laparoscopically, my friend. Real. Yeah.
So maybe he might be able to play. I don't know, but I have a feeling he's probably going to be limited. And I also think that Harrison Bryant has a real opportunity to get a lot of playing time, especially with OBJ going down. They're going to need all the assistance that they can.
What I said on that show was Harrison Bryant is going to be the Dallas Goedert of this season. How Dallas Goedert was to Ertz last year. If Hooper comes back healthy with OBJ out, and with Jarvis Landry a little banged up, I think Harrison Bryant can be like Goedert down the stretch.
Yeah, and he showed last week that he can line up in the slot and run some routes too. That wasn't all lined up on the line of scrimmage, so that was impressive. Richard Rodgers, the only healthy tight end still for Philly, so we may as well plug him in there again and see what he can do against that Dallas defense. Speaking of defense, my two defenses this week are the Chargers and the Titans. The Chargers are against Denver, and the Broncos are the most generous offense in the league against to defenses. Now, part of that was because they had their backup quarterback in there for a little bit, but they didn't look much better with Drew Lock back either. So we'll have to see if that offense can pick it up. But if you're streaming defenses, the Chargers is the one this week. Also, the Titans, for whatever reason, are still unowned in 84% of ESPN leagues. And the Bengals are also pretty generous to opposing defenses in fantasy. Some more streamers to consider. I've got Carr, Burrow, Fournette, Kareem, Corey Davis, Beasley, Ebron, Gesicki, and the Saints defense and special teams.
All right, Linda, what are your thoughts on the streamers? And do you have any streamers that he did not list that we should consider?
First of all, I'd like to say that I'm not hyping Harrison Bryant, uh-oh, but I like Harrison Bryant. I don't I'm sorry. I can't. It was so hard last night to like not tweet after every single play that happened. It was stressful. But no, I like the Chargers defense as well this week, as much as a Broncos fan, that pains me to say. And I like Tennessee this week as well. For quarterbacks, Derek Carr is my, like, I try to stay under 40% rostered when I'm looking at my Yahoo leagues, just as like a challenge to myself, basically. So I like Derek Carr this week. Derek Carr's regularly discredited and people don't, I guess, because he's not exciting and flashy, he's not fun to watch, but he has a consistent, he's completed like 75% of passes every game so far this year. That's great. That's what you want. Consistency at the most inconsistent position outside of tight end. I also do streamer kickers, which I won't get into, but
you can get into. Go ahead. We have tons of time. We have never done streamer kickers. I want you to hit us with all the streamer kickers and the philosophy behind it. Go ahead.
Oh, there's philosophy. My philosophy changes every week. Sometimes it's just like, you know, why not?
How'd you get into streaming kickers? Like, how did that become your thing?
My dad kicked, he was a place kicker for Oklahoma State. No way. In the early 80s. Yeah, kicked barefoot. He's a southpaw kicker. It was just always, like on Thanksgiving, you know, you go out, you throw the football with your family. We were out there place kicking and punting. Dude. So that's what I love to watch. Last night, Hecker's game. Oh, my God.
Oh,
those punts were just, and people are so quick to be, oh, he missed a kick, or, oh, that was a bad punt, and they'll say something about it. But when they make a good, like make a field goal or kick an insane punt, aside from last night when it happened five times in a row, nobody says anything about it. Well, by God, I'm going to be on both sides. I'm going to talk about it when it looks good. And so, but that's just, I have a soft spot for kickers. I played soccer. That was always the part I enjoyed. So I guess that's how I got into it.
Man, I love that you love kickers. Like, I feel for kickers now. I'm into kickers all of a sudden. Justin, what do you guys say?
I was going to say, so to that point, since I typically do the streamers and the turtle heads, you mentioned Derek Carr. We don't typically talk about players that are already good very often. John might with his DFS picks or his dudes, but I'm predicting that Darren Waller will have his first two touchdown game of the season this week. I'm throwing it out there. He's going to get two touchdowns this week, and if he's going to get two touchdowns, that means Derek Carr's throwing for two. At least.
Yeah. I love that.
Aguilar's going to get one.
I'd love
right?
to see it.
Right. And Aggie, too. Hopefully, Aggie. I'm not going to get Aggie.
Linda, who are the kickers we should stream this week?
I haven't done my full research yet. Jason Sanders at Miami, always a good option. Hasn't missed a field goal, hasn't missed an extra point yet this year. He had, I think, like one down week where he scored like 5 points, but his baseline is like eight. Which, if you're playing a kicker, you can't be mad at that. I get excited when they score four. I'm like, we did it. That's great. That's all I need from you. But Brandon McManus, another kicker that I know he missed an extra point last week, but it was snowy and crap weather. He can nail it from 50 yards if they're going against the Chargers and they can't get into the red zone, or they do get into the red zone and then are halted. I think he has an opportunity to kick again. Both those kickers have put up at least one game over 20 points already this year. Both of them have an 18 point game. Both of them are consistent, nail it every time kickers. And Jason Sanders has already had his bye week. So you plug him in and you could potentially ride him for the rest of the season.
Love it. Who is your favorite kicker of the last decade?
Oh man, it changes all the time.
Zuerlein? Is Zuerlein up there?
Yeah, Justin Tucker is an easy answer. Their line's up there. Brandon McManus, I'm a Broncos fan, so I'm cheating a little bit, but he's never included in that like top tier kicker conversation, and he should be. And he just got paid like once. So that was nice. Right now, I like the story, and I'm trying to remember who the hell it is, but there was a kicker that came out last week or maybe 2 weeks ago that had never even attempted a field goal in game. And they were like, yeah, we're going to. have you start for an NFL team, which is just insane. But these dudes' stories are always so much better. Like with my dad and his kicking barefoot nonsense. And like Sam Sloman was, and he got released today, which is a whole nother topic, but he was in college. He was known for hitting like game winners. He would miss an extra point or two, but as soon as it came down to like, you have to hit this or it's game over, those were the ones he nailed right through the middle. I love that. Oklahoma State's kicker right now, he's from Australia. I adore him. He, another guy that played soccer, and they were like, do you want to try kicking a like a longer ball?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, sure, why not? I'll give it a try. So that's like, I just love the stories behind them. They're always so, so much different than like, I've been catching footballs for 20 years, you know? So
Dan Bailey was Oklahoma State, right?
Yes, he was. Orange shoes and all. Loved Dan Bailey for a very long, still love Dan Bailey, but loved Dan Bailey for a very long time.
He had a day. Dan Bailey had a day. And that does it for kickers.
Yeah, the great news is now that we've had a kicker segment, we're good for like 8 months now, John.
Yeah, I think
you're fantastic.
I think we're good.
Subscribe.
Appreciate it.
Kickers have definitely gone up a little bit, you know, in my categories of things that I care about in fantasy football. Kickers have gone up. All right, let's go on to DFS, which I really, really care about. My DFS plays for the week, I use DraftKings.com lineups. My lineup last week, if you played it, you did well. You won. You won some money if you played the lineup I gave you last week. This week, I'm expecting to hit again. My quarterback is Tannehill at Cincinnati. I listed him as a dude. He's at 6,800. I like Kareem Hunt versus the Las Vegas Raiders at 6,900. I like Josh Jacobs to bounce back against the Cleveland Browns at 6,200. So we got Jacobs versus Hunt. I think there's going to be a lot of production between the two of those in the same game. I got A.J. Brown at Cincy, so I'm pairing. I'm stacking Tannehill and A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is at 6,900. He looked phenomenal last week. Keenan Allen at your Denver Broncos. Linda, he's at 6,200, and all Keenan does is just catch 10 catches a game. So his floor is 8 points off those eight receptions, and I think he's going to give you at least 15 this week. I got Brandon Ayuk, who I said is in the house, right? They traced the phone call at Seattle for 5,800. And then Harrison Bryant, my dude, versus Las Vegas. I'm backing up my talk. I'm starting him here at 3,200. And then Le'Veon Bell versus the Jets for the revenge game at 4,600. And then finally, the Bills versus the New England Patriots at 3,300. So that is my DFS lineup. Linda, do you play DFS?
I just got into DFS. It's a problem. I play Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night games. So I don't do like the big slate on Sunday because that's too much. It's too much for me. It stresses me out. And I don't check my fantasy lineups during the weekend, like once Thursday starts, unless some big injury news happens and I need to move somebody out. I'm like, this is where we're at. This is what I'm rolling out. And I won't check it until after games on Monday because I don't want to tilt about it all weekend. I just want to enjoy football. Well, with DFS, I check that app about 42 times a quarter. It's a problem.
Yes.
But I really, really enjoy it so far, but I'm like week three into experimenting with it and figuring it out.
I usually just throw in like, I'll start the season with like $25 because I have so much invested in my fantasy leagues that I don't want to go too far in there, you know? So I'll put about $25 in and then I'll let it ride. And when I lose, I'm done. And this year I'm actually having a good year. So I'm riding it.
Yeah. I win like $4 and I'm like, shit, I'm next up at that. But then I see people win like a lot of money and I'm like, phew.
I hit for 3,000 3 weeks ago. That was the biggest.
Oh my God.
Biggest.
You could not tell me anything if I hit for $3,000.
Yeah. I feel pretty good about it. This is my I feel good about it face. These are my I feel good about it ears. But anyway. If you play this lineup, I hope it wins. I hope we win some money this weekend. Let's win a few thousand dollars. What do you say? You're in.
I'm ready. Born ready.
Awesome. Justin, you got your turtle heads this week. Let's hear them.
Yes, I do. First, let's recap from last week. I suggested that you should go out and get Kyle Allen in two QB leagues because of his schedule coming up. He went out and scored two touchdowns in the easy, nice matchup. He was a QB2 in scoring in most, in, well, in any format last week. So he has a bye week this week, and there's still some good potential for a lot of really easy games, like the next four matchups, I believe, after the bye. So he's still a good pickup to go get, and he's probably still available in a lot of leagues, or at least cheap and easy to get in trade if you're QB desperate. Jerry Jeudy, I mentioned him. He did have a bad game last week, and that might actually be a good thing because there's still a lot of great potential ahead of him. And if they can right that ship, Jerry Judy's even cheaper now and probably available for free in redrafts. So go pick him up, and hopefully they can turn that around. I'm not just saying that because our guest is a Broncos fan either. I really believe there's a chance they can turn it around, and if they do, you're going to be glad you have Jerry Jeudy down the stretch. And then let's see. I mentioned Tevin Coleman. Shanahan did say yesterday that he hopes that that Coleman will be back this week from IR. I also mentioned Preston Williams, and they were on bye last week, and hopefully you went ahead and got him early, or maybe you can still get him after waivers run this week, or for cheap on waivers this week. But you can check out last week's episode if you want to get the details on Preston Williams that I mentioned before, because I'm telling you, this guy, he's about to bounce back. That knee injury is finally out of the way and in his past. So this week's Turtlehead, I'm only giving you one this week, but I'm super stoked about it. I teased it earlier, and it was Damian Harris. Damian has nearly 12 carries per game over the last three games. He's getting 40.7% of the team's opportunity shares on a team that is the third most rushing plays per game. And again, like I said, this week, they're going to have to get that running game established. And I really think that, like, Cam historically has always needed a good running game to get him going in the passing game with his play actions. And then he can move the pocket and pull out some tricks that way. But they're going to start running the ball a lot more. I have a good feeling about that. So you want Damian Harris on all of your rosters, and he's still widely available in a lot of leagues.
All right. So, Linda, do you have any players that are going to break out, guys that you think are going to jump onto the scene over these next few weeks? You got none. Nope,
not saying anything. No.
Now, I'm assuming this is strictly for the sake that the players you feel are going to break out are on your rosters and you do not want to jinx them. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just, you know, they're real people. And if I'm somehow cursed, I don't want to do, like, it sucks for our fantasy teams, but they're real people.
Well, I read the duds and dudes. I did duds and dudes this week and not dudes and duds to reverse the jinx. So I think it's reversed now. So you're fine. So
I'm in the clear.
Yeah.
Just a weird pre-Halloween scary curse that someone has put on you because you said something bad on Twitter. It's going to go away after Halloween. It'll be fine.
It's already gone.
I say a lot of bad things on Twitter.
Guys, it's gone already. I got rid of it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I don't know. I have I'm hoping Harrison Bryant still does well this week. He's on my Scott Fishbowl team. I picked him up when every other tight end I had was hurt, and it would be nice to play him with Mark Andrews now that he's back from bye. That was a rough week for me. It's so wild when bye weeks start hitting and you have to, like, maneuver all that. And in one league, like last week, I was like, I've got Chris Carson, Aaron Jones, and Miles Gaskin, and Rojo. I was like, that, I was 5-1, feeling real good about myself. Then Aaron Jones got out and Chris Carson got hurt, and it was just like Gaskin was on a bye week, Rojo fumbled, so they got mad at him. It was a colossal disaster. So I'm hoping we have a bounce back from that. I hope Chris Carson, if he misses a game, I think I'd be okay with that just to make sure that he's healthy. But if they tell him he can play, I don't think he doesn't play. He is an absolute animal, and he's knows he's on a contract year and needs to perform. So that's a guy I'm keeping an extra close eye on as this weekend approaches.
I like it. And our co-host, who's not here tonight, Nate, He's actually not here because he got Harrison Bryanted this past weekend. He got Harrison Bryanted so bad by Coach Sheps. I played him in two leagues, and last minute I put Harrison Bryant in. I took Higbee out in one league, and I think I sat Odell Beckham, and I put Harrison Bryant in the flex. And Nate's been Harrison Bryanted, so that is why he isn't here. So I hope Harrison Bryant keeps producing. And luckily it won't be against Nate because I've already played him twice and kicked his butt twice. So we should be fine. I'm throwing some shade because I don't think
here to defend himself.
I don't think he'll make it to minute 55. If he listens to this show, I don't think he'll make it that far. So he'll never hear that. He'll never know what happened.
No, after the night that Finn gave him last night, he's probably already asleep if Finn's letting him sleep.
Yes, his newborn is not letting him sleep. All right, we're doing a little bit of a giveaway. I want to tease it a little bit before we wrap this thing up. I got a Gardner Minshew autographed card, rookie card, numbered out of 75. Justin, what are some of the details that we're putting together for this giveaway?
Oh, shoot. I put that in the wrong thing. Oh, anyway, I was going to put a banner at the bottom that says T2T giveaway, but whatever. So we kind of threw this together last minute right before the show. So we're going to have to work out the details to be sure. But make sure you're checking our Twitter account at Toyless and Titles. And we will have the details definitely in there. But essentially what it's going to be is on that particular tweet, if you just at five people, then you get an entry. If those five people, or not if those five, if any of those five at five more, then you'll get another entry and they'll also get an entry. Then if anybody they at five more, then they'll get an entry, another entry, and they'll get the entry. So
in other words, like a lot of work. We're going to have to do a lot of work.
All we can get is all the entries that you can get, but you can get up to two entries that way. But also if you're not a subscriber to the YouTube channel, then these details will be in that tweet as well. Then you go on, you subscribe, send us the screenshot to show that you're a subscriber, and you'll get another entry that way. As a matter of fact, you know what? If you become a YouTube subscriber, I'll give you two more entries. So that's up to four entries if you're not already a YouTube subscriber.
Go ahead. Then you got a
question.
Can I unsubscribe and then resubscribe?
I was going to say, I know what this question is. If you're already a subscriber, screw it. Go ahead and screenshot it and send it to us, and we'll give you two for that as well. I'll put all the work in on this, John. You're providing the autographed card, and so I can't remember if you mentioned the name or not. So I'm not
going to Minshew, man. Minshew Mania.
You did.
I got many more too, man. I got if this hits, I got like hundreds that we could start getting into, and we could start doing some big time. I got Linda. I got one of your boys from Oklahoma State. What the heck was his running back that Dallas had who went to jail because he stole cologne from like a mall? What the hell was his name? Like 4 years ago, like after DeMarco Murray, he was the guy who was supposed to replace him. What the hell was his name? I'll look it up. Justin, you were going to say something. What was that?
No, I was going to say that you said if this hits, I mean, it is Gardner Minshew. So if it hits like he hits the ground, then we should be good to go.
if he hits the ground. Joseph Randall was the guy from Oklahoma State who stole cologne from a shopping mall in Dallas and ended up in jail and then was hitting on the jail attendant because it was a woman, and that didn't go over too well for him. So who knows where he is now. But anyway, I have his autograph, but no one wants that. I got some Zeke. I got some CeeDee Lamb. I got some Jordan Love. I got a bunch. So we'll work it out. But Linda, it has been a pleasure having you on. I appreciate you coming on and helping us get through this week and helping us spread some holiday cheer. Before I let you go, again, why don't you tell everybody where they can find your podcast, where they can find your articles, and whatever else you're dropping. Let them know about it.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Lindellians. It looks like at Lindell Lions, which is fine too. But and then you can find me and Troy King, Mitch Sorensen, and John Bauer on at Fantasy Football Confidential. We're on Wednesday nights. Tomorrow night we'll be doing our Halloween episode. My costume's a little more intricate than you boys put into it tonight, but I'll let the hat thing pass. Next time I'd like warning so that I can also wear a hat.
Okay, next Halloween.
Yeah, perfect. But and then I write a stream article for Fantasy's Sake. You can find them on Twitter at FFSQC. But mostly I'm just messing around on Twitter 24/7. So I appreciate you guys for having me on. I had a blast.
I'm glad that you pronounced Lindalions, because now I actually can read it the way that it, because I thought it was Lindalions. I did not know, but say it again one more time.
It's at Lindalions, and do not feel bad. Everyone thought it was that. And my best friend and the guy that I like co-commish leagues with and everything about 2 years ago said, you know, it looks like Lindalions, right? And I was like, what? Does it? And turns out everyone else also thought that. And it's every handle I've ever had is that. So, but it's too late to change it now. I just ride it into the sunset.
It is. There you go. I'm actually, Rich Gonzalez just said he's in a league with John. I'm in league with John Bauer. Justin, I think, are you in a league with him as well?
If I am, it's probably one with you. I don't believe I am.
Everyone's in a league with, I actually just made a trade with them. I got Evan Ingram and Austin Eckler for Jonnu Smith and somebody else. And I think it's working out right now because Jonnu hasn't looked too good. And Austin Eckler has just been basic enough to get me like over 10 points in a tight end premium league. But anyway, let's wrap this thing up.
Hey, everybody. Quick,
yeah, go ahead.
Let's help out a friend of the show real quick. He just chimed in with a question. He said it's George.
All right, George, let's hear it.
From Sleeper Wire. Let's see. He said he's a contender in a PPR league. Zeke or Swift and J-Rob?
Linda, I'll let you take this one.
In a PPR, like in a redraft league?
Just says PPR contender. If he's saying contender, I'm guessing it's Dynasty.
If he thinks he's going to win this year, I'm not sold on getting rid of Zeke, especially with the way. But I think if you are confident that you're going to make it to like championship status this year, or like, you know, playoff game, then I would keep Zeke. But if you're even slightly hesitant on whether or not you're going to make the final playoff game, I like Swift a whole lot. I think he's going to continue to be used in that offense. And A-Rob is, God forbid, if they ever get him a competent quarterback or get him somewhere that has a competent quarterback.
J-Rob. He needs James Robinson.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I thought you said A-Rob. Yeah, no. Oh, no. I think I'd take Swift and Robinson.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a whole different that's a whole different conversation.
Man, think about how far he's fallen. You know, Zeke was like top four for the last 4 or 5 years, and boom. But Swift is on the rise, and J-Rob looks good.
J-Rob already rose.
Yes, he rose. He's at the top, and that's with Gardner Minshew, and who knows if he's going to stay there, if they're going to end up with a guy like Justin Fields, Trey Lance, or Trevor Lawrence, who will help him out even more. Doug Topkins says, let's go Swift. We need a big week from him. So it could happen. I just traded him away 2 weeks ago, so of course he's balling out. But anyway, I don't want to take any more time of everybody. We appreciate you all listening in. I hope everybody has a happy, safe, and I was going to say healthy Halloween, but I don't know how many people actually have a healthy Halloween. This is like the least healthy season of them all. So have a happy, safe, and enjoyable Halloween. You can find our show on Twitter at Toilets the Titles. You can find my man Justin at JustinFF_Nate, who's on Finn duty right now, at Nate_Dirt19. And I am at Coach Sheps. If you are listening to the show on Spotify, Podbean, Apple iTunes, or whatever, if you could hit the like, subscribe, give us a rating, review, that's great. If you can go check out our YouTube link, subscribe there, like our shows, put some comments in. I know I'm asking a lot, but we really appreciate it. And you can screen cap all that and send it to us. And Justin's gonna put a note down that you sent it in, and we're going to enter you in a chance to win a Gardner Minshew autographed card. So for everybody here this evening, we appreciate you listening in, and we will catch you all later on.